Phyllis Calvert, Flora Robson, Patricia Rock, Renee Houston in 2000 Women. With Reginald Purdell, Anne Crawford, Jean Kent, James McKechnie. Moonlight filters through the trees of a forest. Written and directed by Frank Launder. A figure carrying a torch moves through the forest. It's a nun, her wimple billowing behind her as she makes swift and silent progress. Emerging from the forest, she jumps down from a small ledge and shines her torch on a wooden signpost that reads, Soissons, 40 kilometers. She shields her face with her arm from the blinding light of a bomb explosion, and as she does so, two French soldiers suddenly appear at her side.
Vous allez venir avec nous, mademoiselle.
French soldiers relax in an office, smoking and listening to a radio.
You have been listening to dance music played by Coriano and his Pampas Serenaders. And here is Coriano himself to say good night to you all. Coriano.
Good night, everybody. Hope you like my music. Me and the boys will be with you again next Saturday.
This is the BBC Home and Forces programme. Here is the news, and this is John Snaig reading it. The latest news about the fighting in France was given in last night's French communique.
Est-ce que Paris est tombé?
Pas encore. Ils sont à 20 kilomètres.
To the west.
One soldier pours a drink for another from a jug.
Motorized armored columns have begun to pour over the bridgeheads of Louviers, Andelys, and Vernon in the direction of Passy-sur-Eure.
The two soldiers and nun arrive.
Encore une. Nous l'avons prise en train de faire des signaux à un avion ennemi près du croisement de route de Saint-Cloud.
Alors, qu'avez-vous à dire?
Excusez-moi. Mon français n'est pas très bon. I'm English.
English, eh? Vous entendez, Monsieur le Préfet? Elle dit qu'elle est anglaise. Why is it so many of you dress as nuns?
So many? I'm a novice from the convent of Saint-Antoine at Montard.
Montard is 100 kilometers away.
We're evacuating south on a train. It's been held up because a section of the track has been blown up.
Where is this train?
In the forest, about 6 kilometers away. They're repairing the track now.
Then what were you doing at the top of Saint-Cloud Hill?
The children on the train were hungry. They haven't eaten all day. So some of us went to find food.
Show me your papers.
Mother Superior has them. She has all our papers.
Mademoiselle, I have heard 20 such stories in the past few days.
I'm telling you the truth.
What part of England do you say you come from?
London.
Donnez-moi cette lampe.
If you don't believe me, why don't you send someone down to the railway?
Because if there was anything wrong there, it would be reported here. You overlook the fact, mademoiselle, that you were caught signaling to the enemy.
I was flashing the torch onto a signpost to find out where I was.
And a German plane happened to be passing overhead. And there happens to be an ammunition dump 100 meters from that signpost. But you would not know that, of course. And this torch happens to have been made in Austria. If I can find you a priest, I will do so.
The nun faints.
Au revoir.
The nun wakes to find herself lying face down on a bed of straw in a cell. She lifts herself up and listens for a moment to the sounds emanating from outside. She goes to a small square-grilled window to see the shadows of soldiers carrying rifles cast on a wall. Stepping back out of a shaft of light from the window, she leans against the wall, then walks the few feet across the width of her cell to slump on the floor and rest her head in her hands. She lifts her head at the sound of boots tramping across flagstones. Her cell door opens and a senior German officer enters.
Wer ist das Mädchen? Warum ist sie hier?
Dressed in a military greatcoat, the nun is led outside by the senior officer to a waiting truck.
Goodbye, Fräulein.
Goodbye.
Two other women are sitting in the back of the truck.
Hello.
Hello.
You've seen Tandem Camp?
Yes.
Pass right down the car, then. Plenty of room here. Did they arrest you in the middle of a musical comedy or something?
Reese? No. They're from a French army stores. My own clothes are gone to be cleaned.
No kid. My name's Thompson, Frieda Thompson. What's yours?
Rosemary Brown.
We haven't run across each other before, have we?
No, I don't think so.
Your face strikes a chord somewhere.
Do I exist?
You do, but I feel it's a mistake. Mrs. Bridie Johnson, known to half Paris, the male half as Bubbles Kelly. Married, divorced, married again, divorced again. Stop me if I miss one.
I'd like to strangle you.
You mustn't take any notice of us. We've been living together for the past 6 months in a bug-ridden dump about 4x2.
I'd have gladly poisoned her.
Just imagine listening for 6 months to the unexpurgated version of her love life. The only way she could get to sleep was to count men jumping over a stile.
For 6 months I put up with that, listening to her talk like the muck she used to write.
Her smack at my career.
Career? Sub-sister on a yellow rag of a paper, sub-career.
I place that slightly above a twice-nightly stripteaser in a third-rate music hall.
Oh, let's forget her.
What did you do before the war?
Me?
Nothing, really.
Well, you must have done something. Everyone does something.
She doesn't want to tell us. It's her affair. If you ask me, the sooner we forget the past, the better.
The truck pulls up outside a large stone house, and a small elderly woman in a shawl with blankets draped over her arm opens the front door to a German soldier. She stands aside as two smartly dressed and confident-looking middle-aged women emerge.
We're ready now, my men. Come along, Claire. Surely this is not the conveyance.
I'm afraid it is, Muriel.
Oh, I shall write to the Red Cross about this. Now remember, Celeste, the key goes to Monsieur Leclerc in the morning, and you have the check.
Oui, madame.
No tears, Celeste.
I cannot help it, madame.
Nonsense. Goodbye, Celeste.
Well, goodbye, Celeste. Thank you so much for all you've done for us.
Merci, Dubois. Je suis désolé que nous ayons à nous quitter ainsi.
One of the women pats a small dog on the head.
Goodbye, Jean. Look after her, Celeste.
Sitting in the back of the truck, the two women wave goodbye. The frailer of the two looks on the verge of tears.
Claire, please.
Rosemary, Frieda, and Bridie study their new travelling companions.
Oh, good afternoon. Are you going to Manville too?
That's right. You'd better sit down before we turn a corner.
Oh, yes.
This driver was reared on a racetrack.
Thank you. Sit here, Claire. Have you got the rugs?
Yes.
I'm Miss Muriel Manningford, and this is my friend, Miss Claire Meredith.
How do you do? I'm Frieda Thompson. This is Mrs. Bradley Johnson and Miss Rosemary Brown.
How do you do? We're all British, I take it.
Rosemary and I are. Mrs. Johnson has a British passport.
Well, that amounts to the same thing, doesn't it?
Gets her to the same place.
It's such a comfort to be with one's own country folk again. We've been confined to our house for 6 months, you know. If only we'd taken my brother Hector's advice and gone to live in
Chelsea. Don't chatter so, Claire.
You ought to have been where we were.
Indeed.
In a delightful little cell, 10 feet under the ground outside Amiens.
Oh, how dreadful.
There was life there.
I think we brought some of it with us. You poor things. I'm sure Marnville will be different. It's quite a pleasant little spa. We went there once to take the waters.
You'll get bread with them this time.
The truck stops at a checkpoint where a German soldier checks the driver's papers. At another checkpoint, a German soldier waves the truck through with a smile.
Attention! Tickets for export parcels for internees in block C and D.
The women step out of the truck in the courtyard of a large building.
Hello there!
Hello!
Welcome to Holloway. What's it like? Any sheets on the bed?
Yeah.
Any heating?
No.
What's the food like?
Stinks.
That's enough. Come on, all of you. Leave your luggage where it is in front of me.
See you later.
Here
you go. The women are escorted across the balcony courtyard to the commandant's office, where a sergeant wearing round, steel-rimmed glasses sits behind a desk.
Herr Littler.
Herr Littler.
Und Offizier mit 5 in der nächsten Stelle.
Na endlich. Ich warte schon eine Ewigkeit. Line up here, please. You will be given accommodation in Block C. You will share your rooms with other entities. At the moment, this is limited to 2 persons a room. Manningford, Muriel. Answer, please.
If we must sleep 2 in a room, I shall share with my friend, Miss Meredith.
The allocation of rooms is my business.
My man, I am not accustomed to being spoken to like that. Please arrange that Miss Meredith and I share a room. Otherwise, I shall refer the matter to the Commandant. I shall tell him that I consider a man of your age and physique would be far better employed defending himself on the battlefield than sitting here in an office making insulting remarks to women. And what is more, I shall tell him that a post such as yours...
That's enough. Room 72, the second floor. Miss Manningford and Miss Meredith.
Thank you.
She gives Claire a small nod.
Blonde, Rosemary.
Yes?
Thompson, Frieda.
Hello.
You'll share room 68, floor 2, with Rosemary Brown.
Thank heavens. I was afraid I'd get landed with a little love hungry.
Johnson, Bridie.
I wonder if I could possibly have a room to myself, Sergeant.
Internees are not allowed to occupy rooms on their own. Only in exceptional cases.
But my case is rather exceptional, Sergeant. I talk in my sleep. I can't help it.
Lots of people talk in their sleep.
But not quite the way I do, Sergeant. I'm not thinking of myself. It's the girl I'd have to share with. Of course, if I were alone.
The rat is about to enter the trap after the oldest cheese in the world.
it's really as bad as that. Suppose in some cases it might be. Oh, that's odd. I never noticed. It so happens that room 66 on the second floor is vacant. That has a single bed. It's true.
Thank you, Sergeant.
That's the way the great big world goes round, Ducky.
Frau Hollmich!
A severe-looking woman.
Führen Sie bitte in Ihre Quartiere.
Jawohl, Herr Wachtmeister. Follow me, please.
Bridie draws on a cigarette she took from a cigarette box on top of the sergeant's desk, then sashays out. The sergeant watches her leave, then notices a subordinate giving him a look.
Was schauen Sie mich denn an? Haben Sie nichts anderes zu tun?
Frau Holweg leads the women into Block C, a large columned room bustling with activity. As they make their way through the room, a woman painting at an easel greets Muriel and Claire.
Welcome, ladies, to the only British colony not inhabited by man.
Come on.
Miss King.
A dark-haired woman hurries over.
You call me Frau Holweg?
Yes, these women are to be quartered in your corridor. Miss King is group leader of the women on floor 2. You'd better come along with us.
Certainly.
At the foot of a sweeping staircase.
I'm Mrs. Eleanor Hadfield. I live on the second floor, too, number 70. You must be dying for a cup of tea, you poor things.
Have you got any tea?
I exchanged a pair of corsets for a quarter of a pound last week.
We can't rob you like that.
Oh, but you're not. After all, we should be neighbours, shan't we?
So, I will need you in your group leader's hands now. If there are any complaints to make, they should be made direct to me.
She's a perfect beast of a woman. I've told her before about calling me group leader. It's so German. I like to describe myself as sector warden. We have one on every floor, you know, elected by the women themselves. Now, Frieda Thompson, Rosemary Brown, this is your room. I'll be back in a jiffy for a chin wag.
To think that I once had a crush on a girl like that at school.
Two simple iron-framed beds occupy a large, ornately decorated room.
Has the room you're looking at got two beds in it?
Yes, so
has mine.
Frieda tests the springs on one of them.
You know, there's something very odd about you.
In what way?
A girl who's been in a prison cell for 6 months, passing a mirror without looking in it.
I didn't dare.
Perhaps you're right.
Frieda pushes open a door that leads into a spacious bathroom.
Oh. Hot water? No water, not even cold water. Still, I suppose we can't expect everything.
Nice bathroom.
Like having a car with no petrol. Doesn't get you anywhere. Hello. Is the bill of charges still here? The Grand Hotel. Price per day in the high season, 200 francs. Shall we ring for our baggage, my dear?
You needn't bother. Hello. I'm the one that yelled to you out the window.
Maud Wright, room 69 opposite. How are you?
Fine.
I'm Frieda Thompson. This is Rosemary Brown.
Glad to meet you. Do you mind if I sit down in the old varicose veins? You know. You think you're going to like it here?
I think we might.
Yeah, that's what they all say the first day. Here, have a fag end.
Good afternoon. Come on, Nellie, what are you doing?
Two women carrying metal buckets head into the bathroom.
What's that made of?
They're getting you a bath. That's Mrs. Birchall. She used to keep a tea room in St. Malo. The kid with her's Nellie Skinner. She was a children's nurse in Alsace.
We have to lug it up from the kitchen, you know. Four flights. It's no joke.
Very good of you.
Don't mention it.
Lucy Wilson, straight from a finishing school. Damn shame at that age, stuck in a hole like this.
Good afternoon. I'm Mrs. Cornelia Hope Latimer. I'm from room 76 at the corner.
Lady's maid to a countess. You'd think she was the countess herself. That's the trouble here. We're not all out of the same drawer. Not that it worries me much. I kept a girls' hostel in Paris. Before that, I was at the Casino de Paris, one of the six English rosebuds. Until the bloom wore off.
The people one has to put up with in this place. Things would be far better for a little social distinction.
You must get her to tell you about her cousin, the general.
That's Annette. She married an Englishman in the wine trade, but she left him because he drank too much of his stock. Nice girl. But misses the man being French, of course. But her clothes, oh boy.
Tearing me to pieces, Maud?
No, dear. Just tell them about your wardrobe. This is Frieda and Rosemary.
How are you?
Do you want to borrow some clothes?
No, that's all right. Mine will be here in a day or two.
Well, I can lend you some if you like.
Go on. You can't stick around in this comic opera outfit.
Oh, let me fetch them.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't. I really don't mind. I don't understand you. You don't seem to care a cuss what you look like or what happens to you. Come on now, both of you. Off with your things before this gets cold.
We bath tandem here, you know.
Two at once.
Time limit 3 minutes, or it's cold for those who come last.
You mean the animals go in two by two?
20-to-1 bath sometimes.
If you don't mind, I won't bother just now.
Oh, you mustn't be shy, dear. You've got to muck in here. Hot water's like caviar in this place. We pinch it from the boiler that heats the commandant's office. Strictly speaking, it's black market.
We'll be when we've finished with it. What's bothering you? Never undressed in front of others before?
No, it's just that I'd rather bath on my own.
Wouldn't we all? You know, you'll offend them if you back out now after all the trouble they've taken. Snap out of it, kid. Strip and become a popular figure.
Somebody talking about me?
Nature's gift to art. My next, in all sense.
She talks like she writes, 2 francs a line. I hear there's a bath for me.
In the queue, honey.
I don't see why it shouldn't be the one who's undressed for.
Oh, no, we're not competing with pros. There now, everything's organized. Hello, bath all ready. It's wonderful what can be done when we all pull together. I'm always telling the girls.
We've been told there's some tea going.
It's the team spirit.
And
bath,
should I? No, thank you. We had one before we left.
If only everyone would apply themselves. Mind you, we've done miracles in the time that we've been here.
Here we are. I've more if you need.
We've started a gymnasium class, folk dancing class, dressmaking classes.
Spouting again, Tarzan?
We have French, Spanish, Russian, German classes. We have a choir, and we have a musical appreciation society.
Tina, I'm afraid there isn't any sugar.
No milk either.
And not much tea, besides hot.
Tea, that's all they ever think about in this place.
Tea.
And men?
I've almost forgotten what they look like.
They wear trousers.
I remember that. That's trouble number two in this place. If you can imagine a very large harem with the Sultan away for his annual holiday, well, that's us. From 1 week's end to another.
A bald, bearded man with a monocle strides into the room holding a notebook.
As I was saying, from one week's end to the next, not counting that rat that's just crawled in, not a single man is allowed inside this place, not even the German guards. That'll give you a rough idea of our state of mind, to say nothing of the trend of conversation at times. Not that it worries me. I've seen enough of men to last me for a lifetime.
He heads out.
Who the devil was that?
Monsieur Bopa, proprietor of the hotel.
Nasty little quisling.
He's been given permission to wander about just to see we don't make a muck of things.
Now then, come on, girls, into the bus before it gets cold. There's others waiting, you know.
Okay.
Here you are. Take this.
I bring thee towels and precious soap for the ablutions of the flesh.
I beg, Nick. We mustn't throw this mother, will you?
I'll set your tea into you, dears. Personally, I shall be very glad when there's no more tea left. There's more time wasted here drinking it, making it, and talking about it than on anything else.
Wasting time isn't a crime here, Towser. It's an occupation.
I consider that a most demoralizing attitude.
They're bathing practically in public, my dear. I hope they won't ask us to do the same. I should most certainly refuse. I mean, if we can't bath alone, what is there left?
Tea?
Thank you.
Say what you like. Compare this place with the last cabin.
There you are, dear.
4,000 of us in a barracks meant to hold 100.
Piece of cake.
Nowhere to exercise.
Now, come on, girls. Get out.
Nowhere to wash except a bucket in the yard. Packed together like sardines.
You couldn't even move an elbow without hitting somebody's behind. Here, at least, we have a little space and privacy.
You did say privacy. Mm-hmm. With filthy beds and blankets and everything.
Come on, next customer, please.
It's a different proposition altogether here. With a little good fellowship and esprit de corps, there's no reason why we shouldn't become the happiest little community.
Help! Help! I don't know, but I have a vague suspicion.
The women crowd around a window. Below, two women are grappling on the ground.
That, my dears, is trouble number three. Happens every day. The lady on top, the one who's just delivered the left hook, is the Honourable Mrs. Primrose Ogilvy of Sutton Banfield, Leicestershire. The one underneath, the one who's just copped it. Ain't quite so high, Claire. Mrs. Woodbury, widow of a wholesale butcher. They're on the feet again. Mrs. Woodbury's attacking. Mrs. Ogilvy's off her guard. They're down again.
What are they fighting about?
Something in the dustbin. Probably an old tin can. We use them for cooking, you know. They're up again.
Stop it at once.
Well, there you have it, girls. Life on the roll. Life as the cannibals live it. That's Marnville.
Finished already? You can't have washed that floor properly.
I've done all that was expected of me. She's right there. Two spits and a dab, that's her day's work done.
Margaret, an attractive young blonde-haired woman, carries her bucket and mop into a scullery. She spots a paper-wrapped parcel tied with string on a shelf with a tag that reads, "To the Women of Marnville." Cutting the string with a knife, Margaret opens the parcel to reveal an old-fashioned wooden wireless and several sets of headphones.
Here it comes. Keep it low, whatever you do.
The world has ever seen. The Russians are still resisting the German onslaught with tenacity and skill. It's true, they have had to abandon the last part of what may be regarded.
I thought something had happened when they stopped that Russian language class last week.
I had a Russian friend in Biarritz, a black Russian or a white Russian or something.
Oh,
anyway,
for heaven's sake, shut your trap. Somebody sends us a radio out of the blue and all you do is cackle.
German soldiers burst in.
Nehmen Sie das Radio mit! And you will all come with me to the Commandant's office at once!
Some dirty skunk must have spilled the beans.
Yes, I wonder who.
What's happened?
I'm thankful to say we didn't give anything away.
Wasn't much to give away. We don't know who left the radio.
No, but I give my right arm to know who the poison ivy is in the camp.
Me too.
It seems to be awfully efficient.
You realize, of course, that poison ivy must be one of a dozen people.
How do you mean?
Well, only a dozen of us knew about that radio.
Oh, you make it sound like one of those crime novels. Did the lodger do it? Did the butler do
well,
it?
Well, somebody did it.
Oh, dear, you sent cold shivers down my spine.
Miss Meredith and I refused to say a word.
Hey, Maud.
Hello. Here. Can you and Frieda come up to Mrs. Latimer's room for a minute or two?
What for?
Well, I don't want to talk here. Just you and Frieda. Nobody else.
Okay.
Frieda?
Yes?
What is it? I want you upstairs for a minute.
What's all the hoo-ha?
Somebody knocked off a couple of ounces of tea or something.
No, nothing like that. We thought, that is Mrs. Birdshaw and I thought,
You might be interested to know who informed on you about the radio set.
You mean you know who did it?
We think so. Nellie will tell you, won't you, dear?
Must I, Mrs. Latimer?
Of course. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Out with it, lass.
Well, I was scrubbing out the commandant's office the other day when I happened to notice the filing cabinet was open.
The one with all our records in.
So I thought I'd just look to see what they said about me. And I came across Rosemary Brown's record. By accident, of course.
Nellie speaks German.
Where's all this leading to?
It said Rosemary was arrested as a fifth columnist at a town called Arbonne just before the Germans entered.
Dressed in the clothes of a nun.
What? Why don't you give her a club foot and dark glasses and have done with it?
Those are the facts.
Facts, my foot.
Never heard anything so stinkingly disgusting and stinkingly fantastic and just plain stinking in all my life. Come on, Maud, let's get out of here.
If one word of that yarn gets outside of this room, I'll wipe the floor with a lot of you. Get me?
Well, of all the ingratitudes. I suppose there's nothing in it. You too, Brutus. Eh?
Oh, skip it.
Just like you English pigs. You receive the hospitality of my hotel.
Oh, pipe down. I'll pay you for them after the war.
Au contraire, you will pay me now, taking my beautiful neckcuff.
Here.
The night I
pass. You're in this.
What?
Frieda pulls Maud into her room, where Rosemary's removing clothes from a washing line.
Rosemary?
Yes?
Don't throw a fit or anything, but there's something you ought to know about. They're saying that you were arrested as a fifth columnist.
Who told you this?
The Skinner girl said she saw it in the records.
It's true.
Frieda and Maud look shocked.
I was arrested by some French soldiers when we were evacuated at the time of the breakthrough. I was trying to find food for some children.
Were you dressed as a nun?
I'm a novice from the convent of Saint Antoine at Montard.
Struth, couldn't you have told us this before?
I was going to at first, and then I thought I'd wait until my clothes arrived, but the Germans never sent them. And after that, well, I thought if I told you, it would only embarrass you. People have peculiar ideas of anyone from a convent, and I didn't want you to start behaving differently.
I wouldn't behave differently if you were Joan of Arc.
Pity it's turned out this way. They're trying to make out it was you who informed on us about the radio.
You surely don't believe that.
Don't be a little fool.
And what about Maud?
Of course not. Maud, tell her.
Come here a minute, both of you.
Maud's at the window.
What do you make of that?
Why the devil didn't I guess? Sergeant Hensner, too.
You can't mean it was Bridie. She might just be making an appointment to meet him this evening.
Marta Harley did all her best work at night.
I don't think we should condemn her on evidence like that.
No, maybe not. Maybe we ought to give her the benefit of the doubt. All the same, I'd like to kick her in the teeth on the off chance.
Claire drops a ball of wool on the grand staircase.
Meredith, your wool.
Oh, thank you so much, dear.
My trick, I think.
Dummy.
Dummy.
Oh, and then he put his arms around me and whispered, I love you.
And what did you say?
Well, naturally, I asked him when we were going to get married.
That was practical, with a little dampening.
And he told you he was married already and offered you the usual alternatives. 3 months later, went back to his wife.
6 months. Did I ever tell you how I fought for my honor at a bungalow outside Harpenden?
Must we descend from Lake Como to Harpenden?
For my part, I've heard enough sordid stories for one night.
Nothing sordid about it.
I won.
I don't get the point, then.
Oh, I don't know. He was good-looking. I was innocent.
Really? I don't think I've ever been in company where the conversation was so low.
Surely there's some other subject we can talk about.
Anybody got the exact time?
9:50.
I think I'll go to bed. I've got a bit of a headache. Can I have the kitchen keys, Tizer? I left some aspirins in the little cupboard.
Put them back in my room when you're finished with them.
I'm going to bed myself soon. All right.
There's a key to the back door of that ring, too.
Is there?
The grounds are always in darkness at 10 o'clock when the touchlight crows change over.
In the scullery, Bridie hurries over to a door, unlocks it, and loosens a top bolt. She opens the door slightly, then closes it hurriedly as the searchlight's beam washes across it. The searchlight continues its sweep across the hotel and grounds. Quietly, Bridie opens the door and steps outside. Sergeant Hensner combs his hair in a cracked mirror, then places his cap on top of his head. As he heads out of a bunk room, the sound of a siren stops him in his tracks.
verdammte Schweinerei. An die Geschütze! Marsch, marsch!
Men leap from their bunks.
An Italien die Posten! Wo stehen Sie herum, Feldwebel?
Each soldier grabs a rifle from a rack and heads out. Bridie stands outside the scullery door, staring up at the night sky.
Okay. I wonder if there are planes.
You don't think they take a crack at their own planes, do you?
Our boys on the way to Italy, I expect.
Well, I wish them luck.
I'm going to bed.
Me too.
I think we'll join you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Just think. 7 or 8 RAF boys a few miles away up there. And here are we. What a life. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bridie frowns as she looks up into the sky. Margaret switches on a light as she steps into her room with more photos to add to her collection of suave-looking men on the wall, but is distracted by a loud noise outside.
Guns must have hit them.
It sounds as if they were going round and round, trying to find a place to settle. I suppose it's so dark out there, they don't realize how close to the ground they are.
It would be very simple to let them know that, Claire. Very simple indeed.
What are you going to do?
Undo the blackout.
We shall get into terrible trouble for this, Muriel.
They're British aviators, aren't they?
Yes, I know, but it's the very least we can do.
Outside, a soldier spots a shaft of light as Muriel opens the French doors.
Sehen Sie, dass das Licht augenblicklich verschwindet. Melden Sie mir, wer dafür verantwortlich ist. Nehmen Sie einen Mann mit.
Two soldiers are dispatched to investigate. The remaining soldiers scour the sky.
Spät 2:36 zur Absturzstelle.
Muriel and Claire sit knitting beside the open French doors in their room. Two German soldiers burst in. One heads straight for the doors, closes them, and draws the curtains.
Who is responsible for this?
I am.
And I. We did it deliberately.
This will be reported to the commandant. What are your names?
You'll find them on the door, outside.
The soldier removes a light bulb from an overhead lamp, leaving the two women in total darkness.
Where did you put the spare?
In my sponge bag in the left-hand drawer.
Oh, yes. There. You know, Muriel, I feel we've struck a blow for England tonight. In our own small way, of course.
A young airman wearing a leather flying jacket with a sheepskin collar crouches beside a tree. He lights a cigarette, carefully cupping a hand around it to shield the glow from the lighter. Following the sound of whistling through a wooded area, he comes across another airman who's talking to himself.
A nice glass of foaming beer. Pre-war stuff.
I'll join you, Sergeant.
You've got an elementary sense of humor. How did you find me?
Well, how could I miss you? What were you doing, whistling a taxi?
Was I whistling, sir? Sounds as if they got the bloodhounds out.
Not for our blood. Come on.
They crawl away through the undergrowth.
Barbed wire.
Well, where do you think we are?
How should I know, fathead? Question is whether we're inside or outside this lot.
Well, you're a money chance, ain't it? Honey, you're in the all clear for your own air raid. I wonder where the others are.
Well, they all bailed out, except Dave, and he was following after me.
No chance of picking them up, eh?
I only got onto you because you were whistling. Now they may be miles away.
They throw themselves flat to the ground as the beam of a searchlight sweeps across them.
Where'd that light come from?
Peering through a bush.
Yeah, look at this. It's like a spa of some kind. Party's getting rough. Keep as close to the ground as you can and follow that searchlight.
Blimey. Join the RAF and fly in your stomach.
The searchlight sweeps slowly across the hotel's facade. Now within 100 feet of the building, the two airmen study the exterior.
What does that look like to you?
Might be anything. Hotel, chateau, workhouse.
Or even a brewery.
That's not funny.
If you ask me, our best chance is to hide there. Anyway, while those searchlights are on the job.
They break cover from beneath a bush and run across a grassy area to a large window before ducking behind a low stone wall as the searchlight's beam sweeps past again.
Where does the next lap take us to?
It takes me up that fire escape there and leaves you here.
Oh, does it? Hmm. Well, I'm not subject to discipline now, you know. I'm a hunted animal, same as you are.
Then go to Earth for a bit till I get back. Come on, let me lend a hand here.
Standing on a box, the younger of the two airmen, with a mop of dark hair, pulls down a metal staircase.
If it is a brewery, I'll tap out beef or bass on the ironwork.
He sneaks up the staircase 2 steps at a time to a first-floor balcony, where he tries a set of French doors. Finding them locked, he swiftly moves on to the next room to the left. He slips inside just as the searchlight's beam pans across the shuttered window. Crawling on hands and knees in total blackness, he's suddenly startled by a bright light. Momentarily disorientated, he turns hesitantly to see Rosemary sitting up in bed.
Pardonnez-moi, mademoiselle. Je suis un homme du RAF. Voulez-vous donner moi l'abri, s'il vous plaît?
You're all right, aren't you?
Eh?
Not wounded or anything?
No. This is just one of those moments. Let me get my bearings. I've bailed out, you know. It's a bit shattering, this. All at once. I mean, a girl like you, sitting up in bed. Quite calmly, talking English, perfect English, and acting as if RAF men dropped in from the skies every night.
How did you expect me to act?
I don't know. You mind if I sit down? You might have screamed or something.
Why?
Well, it isn't exactly the sort of thing a girl expects to find when she switches on the light, is it? I'm looking for some place to hide. The searchlights are scouring the countryside for us.
Us?
Oh, there's a sergeant down there below. It's only till the morning. I know it's a deuce of a thing to ask, but I suppose we couldn't...
Of course you can.
We can? We'd be gone at the crack of dawn and... Oh, I'm not very good at thanking people.
Please don't try.
What would your husband have to say to all this?
I haven't a husband.
Hmm?
That's my friend's bed.
I see. Stroke of luck, you're speaking English. My French is terrible.
So's mine.
What?
I'm English too.
This is France, isn't it?
Yes.
Occupied France?
Yes.
And you're English?
Yes.
Then why aren't you interned?
I am.
The second airman watches a group of German soldiers with a dog head across a courtyard, then cautiously makes his way up the fire escape. Reaching the first floor balcony, he tries the same set of locked French doors his comrade tried before heading to his right. Sitting in front of a mirror with her back to the French doors, Margaret's eyes grow wide with surprise as she sees a reflection of the airman peering through the heavy curtains. Turning, she stares confusedly at the drawn curtains. The airman moves on to the next set of doors. Muriel and Claire watch in astonishment as his behind looms through their curtains.
Good evening. You did get our signal after all, then. I'm so glad.
Aye?
We realized you were in trouble up there and opened the blackout. I'm Miss Muriel Manningford, and this is my friend, Miss Claire Meredith.
But how did you manage to land and come straight to the right room?
Well, I...
Where are the others?
Only Pilot Officer Moore and me landed in them.
Oh, how foolish of the others not to follow you.
Would you mind telling me where this is?
It's the Marnville internment camp for British women.
Eh? Here, come on now, knock it.
We're not in the habit of telling lies, young man.
I suppose it is a little surprising, but it's true. This is a women's internment camp.
No, men?
Of course not.
Good night, ladies.
Oh, where are you going?
Well, I can't stay here. It stands to reason. I'm a married man.
But you can't get away. You're inside an enclosed camp where none of us can get away.
It's a thing they're most strict about.
There's that dog again. There's a party of Nazis down there. What happens if they search this place?
They're not likely to do that unless... What did you do with your parachute?
Buried it. Supposing that dog sniffs it out.
Oh, no. I know that doggy quite well. He's a very nice doggy. He wouldn't sniff anything out.
And everything's all right, then. I'm afraid your friend will have to take care of himself. But you'll be quite safe here.
You're not suggesting we should have a man in our room all night.
My dear Claire, it's our duty. The young man shall sleep in your bed. And you shall share mine.
You know, I know what my wife's going to say if ever this leaks out. She'll say I bailed out here on purpose.
Well, we shan't tell anybody. You can be sure of that.
Now, let's see. If we turn out the lights, we can all undress in the dark and everything will be perfectly proper.
Oh, dear. I do hope we're doing the right thing.
Young man, if you've torch your matches in your pockets, will you kindly place them on the mantel shelf?
Muriel switches off the light.
And oddly enough, we often discuss in the mess where we'd most like to land if we had to bail out. I always imagined a room rather like this, with a girl rather like you.
Good night, Maud.
Good night.
Shut the door, quick!
Frieda and Maud step slowly into the room, studying the airman intently as they approach him. Frieda touches the sleeve of his jacket.
It's real!
These are two friends of mine, Maud Wright and Frieda Thompson. May I introduce Pilot Officer James Moore? He's bailed out and is trying to escape.
Oh, I thought maybe he just dropped in for a game of darts.
Miss Brown was just explaining a few things about this place.
How about explaining a few to us?
I told you, he's bailed out.
Yes, I landed in the grounds and climbed up the fire escape.
And just happened to pick in this room, eh?
By a stroke of luck.
There's a wireless operator, too.
Where?
Outside.
Well, I should hate to suggest being practical, but wouldn't it be a good idea to fetch him up?
Yes, I think perhaps it might. Look, I don't know how to begin to thank you, girls.
We'll have the illuminated address later.
Watch out for the searchlights.
James slips out of the French doors, ducking as the searchlight's beam swoops across them, then peers over the balcony.
Now, problem number one is where can they spend the night? Or rather, where can't they? Oh, I'm so glad you're all here.
Now, what do you want?
It's Margaret. She's in an awful state. She swears she saw a man's face peeping through the curtains just now.
Look here, Hattie, we were having a private discussion.
I thought I ought to tell you in case it was one of the German guards. And you know what some of them are. I told her to go down and report it to Frau Hulfig.
You did what?
Where is she now?
Downstairs. Why?
Hattie, dear, you've got to do something for us. Don't ask any questions. We'll tell you later. Hurry downstairs and try and head Margaret off. If you're too late, hold them up as long as you can.
Yes, but I don't see why.
You will.
No, you buzz along, old girl.
Come on.
Frieda leads her to the door and bundles her out of the room.
Can't see a sign of that fool sergeant anywhere. There's a pack of Huns down there patrolling.
I wonder if it was your sergeant who peeped into Margaret's room.
Who's Margaret?
One of the local amenities. Did you poke your head into any other window?
No.
It must have been him. He's probably got into one of the rooms further on.
Sort of thing the idiot would do.
We must stop this before it spreads.
You're right. In this place, we can give the African drum system a 10-minute start. Come on, you two.
You watch the stairs, Maud. If you see Hulfig, give us a whistle.
Okay.
We'll take one room apiece. Knock and make some excuse. If their hair's down and their teeth are in, there's a man in the room. I'll take this one.
Muriel, Claire, and the airman are all in a state of undress.
Good Lord. What the butler saw. Rosemary!
First time a coconut. It's here.
Put that light out this minute. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before.
I can imagine. Well, I won't keep you a minute. Your pal's with us.
Oh, is he?
Yes, we've been looking for you. This thing's got to be kept dead quiet. We'll straighten it out in the morning. Old Frowsy Holbeg's on the prowl, so lock the door after me and lie doggo, that's all.
Oh, dear, what a calamity. After 53 years, this. She's coming up the stairs now. It's all right, we found him. I'll tell you in the morning. Back to our rooms, quickly. Fasten the window.
James has fallen asleep on Frida's bed.
Dead to the world.
Not surprised after all he's been through.
I think he's rather good looking. Or isn't he? Maybe it comes of being cooped up here for a year.
He's got rather a nice forehead.
Well, maybe we'd better leave him there and get to bed.
Do you think if I undid his collar, it would help him to breathe more freely?
I shouldn't think so, but you can try it if you like.
Rosemary undoes the top button of James's tunic.
You got any hair on his chest?
Oh, for goodness sake, Frida. Where are you going to sleep?
I'll share your bed if you don't mind. It'll look better. Come on, stop mucking him about and get into bed. What do you say we go straight to sleep? If we can, get up at the crack of dawn and work this thing out.
All right.
We shall only jaw all night if we don't.
I suppose so. You don't think that bed's too short for him? He must be at least 6 feet.
Good night, Rosemary.
Good night, Frida.
Good night, girls. 5 feet 11¾.
Morning. Teresa draws back the curtains in her room, opens the French doors, and looks down at the activity in the courtyard below. She takes in a deep breath of fresh air, then shuts the doors. Placing her hands on her hips, she rises up on her toes and performs a single squat before springing to her feet and heading jauntily out of the room. Frida's washing the floor outside.
Coming to the gym class, Frida?
Now I'm going to Rosemary's Latin class.
Oh, has Rosemary started a Latin class? Nobody told me. First lesson this morning. I should have thought a few physical jokes would have done you more good than a dead language.
Maud's on her hands and knees, scrubbing the staircase.
Hurry up, Maud. Time for the gym class.
Rosemary's having a Latin class. I'm going to that.
You? Latin?
Yeah, me, Latin.
Maud watches Teresa head down the staircase, then gives a signal. With Rosemary watching one end of the corridor, Frida hurries to Muriel and Claire's room.
All clear. Quick.
Alec, the sergeant airman, emerges and joins the other women as they scamper into Rosemary's room. Last in is Harry, who closes the door. It swiftly opens again and a hand hangs a notice on the doorknob which reads, "No admittance, Latin class in progress."
Now, tell me again about the camp boundaries. There must be a weak spot somewhere.
The orchard walls are high and hard to climb. Apart from that, there's 6 feet of barbed wire on the top, electrified too. And there's the outer perimeter.
Well, I don't know, I'm sure. But I have a plan of escape that I was keeping to myself. And I'm quite willing to divulge it if it's of any use.
Well, come on, we'll buy it. What is it?
Well, you know the side door to the commandant's offices?
Mm-hmm.
My plan was to sneak up there at night, wait until the sentry passes, then plunge a knife in his back, make my way through the house to the front door, slit the throat of the guard there, then creep along the path to the commandant's private gate. There's another guard there.
Cut out his entrails and stick him in your handbag.
Oh, I know it involves spilling a little blood.
Sounds like a Nazi purge to me. Anybody else got any bright suggestions?
Well, I hesitate to mention it, but you came down in that apparatus. Couldn't you possibly inflate it again and,
That's out. If you ask me, our best chance is on Saturday night. We've got a concert then, and the guard is always relaxed. It's a question of the best way out.
Well, has anybody got a map of the place?
I have.
I'll bet.
It's homemade, of course.
All right, go and fetch it, Ruddy Mary.
Oh, really, I don't think that was called for.
She doesn't mean it, Harry.
Someone had better keep an eye on the door.
As Harry leaves the room, Monsieur Beaupay emerges from a door at the far end of the corridor. Harry retrieves her map from a drawer. She looks horrified to see Monsieur Beaupay knock on Rosemary's door and enter without waiting. Everyone stares at him.
Who the hell's this?
Monsieur Beaupay, proprietor of the place. He's in with the Germans.
Shall I take care of him?
Good morning, gentlemen. I did not expect to find you here, although I presumed one of you was in the camp.
Why?
A flying glove has been found outside the wall of the inner perimeter an hour ago, marked with the initials DLK.
What do you want to listen to him for? The old skunk's just trying to bluff his way out of it.
DLK are the initials of one of our chaps.
What's the object of telling us all this?
Just playing for time.
If there's nobody else going to start in them, I am.
The Germans are organizing parties now to search the entire camp. I think you would do much better to listen to me instead.
If you're trying to intimidate us, I would remind you that we are all of us British.
And I, madame, am French. But if I could be certain that not one word of this goes beyond this room, it is possible that something might be done.
Heaven's name, you're not proposing to help us.
That's a trick. Don't trust him.
It is not a question of whether you can trust me, but if I can trust you, I must be certain of that.
Everyone looks at each other uncertainly.
What have we got to lose?
Claire.
The lady's right. What have we got to lose?
If you help us, you can rely on us not to say a word.
Very well. I will trust you. If they can get across to the thermal baths, it is a risk, of course. There is an attic there where I do not think they will be found. I will draw a plan for you. I work for my country, but this is the biggest sacrifice I have made. It is the place where I have stored my wines.
Aye? Wines?
Yes, but you must promise on your oath not to touch a single bottle of it. Only on that condition do I tell you.
All right, we promise.
Now, you take them by the kitchen staircase now, and then by the covered way. That is the hall of the baths. You follow the rest.
I think so.
Bien. Now, here is the key, and you must hurry now.
Thank you.
Il n'y a pas de quoi, monsieur.
Just a minute. If this thing works out, we shan't forget you. But if you're double-crossing us...
Mademoiselle, several women have escaped from this camp. Someone must have helped them. Someone also left you a radio. Think it over.
Monsieur Beaupé heads out.
Well, I'll be damned.
We must hurry.
Ready, Eric. Which way is the emergency exit?
Follow me. Can't go that way.
Why not?
Therese has got the kitchen keys.
We can't go any other way.
Tausa didn't take her handbag with her when she went to the gym class. I noticed that.
Then she must have left the keys in her room. I'll fetch them.
I'll run down into the hall and see if there's anything doing.
I'll come with you. Oh, dear. My heart's going jump, jump, jump.
Frida rummages through the drawers of a dressing table in Teresa's room.
Have you got it?
No, it's probably in this drawer and it's locked.
Well, the key of the drawer must be somewhere. I don't suppose she's taken it with her. Here, try this. That's it.
She empties out the contents of a clutch bag.
Here we are.
Come on.
What's this?
What does it matter?
Can you read German?
Why?
Look, what is it?
It's a Nazi party card. It says Teresa Reisinger is a member of a Nazi party.
Attention! All attendees in block A, B, C, D, and E will proceed at once to the main lounge. I will repeat that.
Too late. The police are surrounded.
Women swarm down the staircase into the main hall where Frau Hollweg is standing on a small stage flanked by two German soldiers.
Quiet, please! Will everybody seat themselves as quickly as possible, please?
As the women take their seats in the packed hall, German soldiers head up the staircase. Bridie's sitting up in bed, filing her nails.
What are you doing here?
Sergeant Hensner closes the door.
We have orders to search the police. Why are you not in the lounge?
I sprained my ankle last night on the kitchen stairs. Who are you looking for?
The crew of a British bomber built out over here last night. Our orders are to search every room in the building.
But, Sergeant, you surely don't think I conceal a British airman here?
I'm not accusing you. I was called out on duty last night when the siren went. I had no chance to explain.
Yes, yes, of course. But surely it isn't necessary to search here. After all,
A soldier walks in.
Entschuldigung, Herr Feldwebel. Ich wusste nicht, dass Sie hier sind.
Well, I hope you find him, Sergeant. Good morning.
Was klopfen Sie denn so? Machen Sie, dass Sie weiterkommen.
Zu Befehl.
With an apologetic smile to Bridie, Sergeant Hensner follows the soldier out. When they've gone, a handsome young airman with Canada emblazoned on his shoulder comes out from behind the curtains.
Lock that door.
They both listen at the door.
Who was that?
Just a German sergeant.
You seem to have quite a way with German sergeants. What did he mean he was called out on duty last night? What couldn't he explain?
He was merely going to bring me some tea. You don't imagine I'd have anything to do with a German, do you?
Then why are you accepting tea from him?
Because I like tea and he happens to be in charge of the stores. That's all.
They wait while footsteps pass by outside. Then Bridie smiles seductively.
You have been assembled here because it is believed that some British airmen who crashed in a bomber last night may have concealed themselves in this camp. Silence! You will remain here until the search is over and the order is given to dismiss. You understand? Nobody is to leave this room until the order is given. These precautions are for your own protection.
What is it?
Mrs. Birdshaw spotted one of the airmen dressed in a shawl and a headscarf sitting at the back of the assembly. Frieda and Rosemary notice a whisper passing swiftly round the room and alert the others.
There's two of the airmen back there.
They rumbled. What are we going to do?
More heads turn as the whisper gathers momentum.
The airmen are back. We've got to stop this from reaching Teresa.
But how?
We'll tell them she's a Nazi agent and ask them to pass the word. Quick! Stop the story. Teresa's an agent.
Louis.
The whispers pass down each line.
Teresa's a Nazi spy. Stop the story.
Teresa's sitting on the front row with arms folded, oblivious to the hushed murmur behind her. Seeing the whisper ripple closer and closer to Teresa, Rosemary screams. A nun to Margaret.
Teresa King is a German agent. You mustn't let her know the two airmen are here.
What on earth happened? Someone's fainted.
Attention, please. All internees from block A, B, C, D, and E may now leave the lounges.
The women get to their feet and an excited hubbub fills the room. The two shawled airmen are bundled across a courtyard to a door.
Inside, quick. We'll hang about outside to keep the mob at bay.
Dispensing with their disguises, the airmen follow Rosemary through the hotel's plant room and up a narrow staircase. Dusty barrels and wine bottles fill every corner of a low-ceilinged loft room.
I could be happy here.
You'll be safe here.
For how long? I never knew one woman who could keep her mouth shut, let alone 2,000.
You may be surprised. Here's the key. I'll be back tonight for some food.
Will you be coming from the deck of the hotel?
Yes, along the covered walk. Then if the searchlights are on, I can easily dodge them.
I don't suppose you'll be passing that little summer house below the terrace.
Why?
Well, confidentially, I should be waiting there for you.
You're not going to move from this spot.
Round 9:45?
I shan't be there. It's crazy. You might be caught in the searchlights.
I could easily dodge them.
I don't think that's funny. I'll be back at 10 o'clock with the food.
2:15 in the summer house. Make it ham sandwiches.
James locks the door when Rosemary's left.
You know, that girl's face gets on my nerves. What was she before she was interned?
How do I know?
Well, I've seen her before somewhere. Everything about her. Her eyes, her face, her neck, her shape.
Must you?
Well, I'm trying to concentrate on the parts I'm most likely to remember.
Well, don't.
Yes, I know, but supposing somebody talks, we must warn everybody to keep their mouths shut and hope for a miracle. The boys don't think we can do it. We'll have a damn good try.
little passion fruit. Wanting to know where the men are, sweetheart?
I came to tell you there's another.
Another what?
I've got one, too.
A third, Aviator.
For the love of Mike.
Well, I confess.
Where?
In my room.
Why the devil didn't you tell us this before?
Well, how on earth did he manage to land in your room?
Radio location.
We don't leave him in Bridie's room with Teresa's room just opposite. Surely we can get him across to the others in some way.
10 o'clock tonight's the best time when Rosemary takes over the food.
Ooh. I'll meet him at the foot of the fire escape.
All right. Why should Rosemary have all the luck? 3 men in the camp, 3 live men, and all I get's a reflection in a mirror.
Nighttime. James and Alec are playing cards.
Just fancy. If I was back home now, I'd be lying back on the sofa with my feet up.
Does your wife allow that?
With my feet down, smoking my pipe, working my way through the news of the world.
It isn't Sunday.
Middle page lasts me the whole week. Old man of 90 elopes with girl of 17. Solicitor strangle showgirl. Solicitor strangle showgirl. Mary Morm, singer and dancer, black and blue, London Hippodrome, 1938.
What are you dribbling about?
Come to me in a flash. Your girlfriend, she's Mary Morm.
Ah, don't be an idiot.
I'm not kidding. I told you I'd seen her face before. She got mixed up with some married man who tried to poison his wife. She swore she didn't know the man was married. The missus and I had words about it. She said the girl knew he was married, all right, and I said she didn't. Well, of course, that led to a row. I went out and had a glass of bitter and missed my Sunday dinner. Summer of 1938 it was. 7 days wonder. Chamberlain had to fly to Munich to knock it off the front page.
Yes, I remember the story vaguely. But it can't be the same girl.
I'll tell you, it is. The fella did 7 years, the husband, and she went into a convent.
That sinks it. She isn't a nun.
How do you know?
Well, she isn't dressed as a nun. No, no, you're wrong, Alec. Anyway, photographs in the newspapers always look the same.
But I tell you, I saw her on the stage. I remember the song she sang. How did it go? You're delightful, you're delicious, you're divine. You're exotic, you're exciting, you're like wine.
Look here, it's time I pushed off.
Well, you go and ask her.
Yes, and if it isn't true, I get a sock in the jaw.
If it is true, you still get a sock in the jaw.
James makes his way along a curving, columned walkway, taking cover behind a pillar as a searchlight's beam sweeps the area. When it's passed, he dashes out into the open and crosses a courtyard. Pressing his back against a wall, he turns his head slowly to see Rosemary standing beside him.
Am I?
There's some news for you. There's another member of your crew in the camp. D.L.K.
Dave? Where has he been?
One of the girls hit him. When the searchlight crews change, I'll bring him over.
Well, I'll be damned. Old Dave. Well, things certainly happen around here.
Not always pleasantly.
Well, they brought me close to you. You're lovely.
I wish you wouldn't talk like that.
You're delightful.
Please.
You're exotic, you're exciting, you're divine. Know the rest?
She lowers her eyes.
Oh, so it's true then?
What's true?
That song Alec told me.
Alec?
Yes.
I don't know what you mean.
It was the convent part of it that fooled me. Your clothes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
How long were you there?
I haven't told you anything. You're just guessing.
Have you taken the vows?
No. Anything else?
You still love him?
No.
Going back to the convent?
Yes.
Really mean yes?
Yes.
One day you might meet somebody else and regret it.
If I'm in a convent, I shouldn't meet anyone else.
I could almost climb the convent wall and peep over at you.
Searchlights will be off in a second. German's always punctual. It's time we moved.
You know best.
A soldier patrols close by.
Somebody on the grounds.
One of the guards?
I couldn't tell.
He kisses her.
I see. When you get back to England, you'll be able to tell your friends about this. You can always exaggerate and make me a nun. It's a better story.
Would you rather live in London or in the country?
A story like that should go down well in the mess.
I prefer the country, Dorset or Devon.
I'm sure you'd have great success with it at every party.
I know of a perfect spot on the coast of Dorset.
You can tell it to your wife if she's broad-minded.
What would be the point? She knows it already.
Don't you take anything seriously.
He clasps her in his arms and they kiss passionately. The sound of footsteps brings them out of their clinch. Rosemary recognizes the soldier.
Sergeant Hensner.
Who's he?
One of the guards.
They watch as Sergeant Hensner unlocks a door.
Good Lord.
What?
He's friendly with the girl who's hiding David. There's something between them.
Like that, is it? Surely she'll have more sense. Which room is it? I can slip up by the fire escape.
First room past mine.
Bridie opens her door to a gentle tapping.
Quick, let me in.
Sergeant Hensner spots Dave's reflection in a mirror and draws his revolver. Dave lunges at him and they grapple against a wall plastered with photos of Bridie in skimpy underwear. Bridie stands with her back against the door as Dave forces the gun from Sergeant Hensner's grasp. It falls to the floor and Sergeant Hensner makes a grab for it as he pushes Dave off him. But before he can fire it, Dave punches him in the face. Hensner pushes him away again and Bridie switches off the light. James lowers the fire escape, and he and Rosemary scramble up it. James enters Bridie's room through the French doors. As he parts the curtains, light thrown on Hensner's prostrate body, Dave's hands around his neck.
Dave! Dave, where are you? Where the hell's that switch?
Bridie looks shaken as she flicks on the light switch. James examines Hensner.
Is he all right?
Depends which way you mean it. He's dead. Shut up! There's no need to go into a spin because we've killed a German. It's our job. We've paid for it, however inadequately. I must say, Dave, old man, you might have chosen a better spot for it.
If I hadn't have got him, he'd have got me.
He can't be found here.
He won't be found here.
Bridie, are you all right?
Answer yes, as if you've been asleep.
Yes, I'm all right. What do you want?
We heard a row going on somewhere.
Perhaps it was on the next floor.
No, it sounded nearer than that.
What are you going to do?
You'll be quite safe with us, don't worry. Switch the lights out. Look slippy, Dave.
Dave, you can't go like this. I know what you're thinking.
I guess I've been pretty dumb, haven't I?
But I'd only spoken to him in the grounds. I swear.
Oh, yeah.
Can't stand here arguing. I must see you again. I gotta talk to you. You can't go like this.
Shut up.
I don't care who he is. I don't care. I don't...
Rosemary slaps Bridie's face.
It'd like quieten her down.
Alex trying to prise a cork out of a wine bottle with a penknife. He whistles innocently when he hears someone coming.
Daddy!
James is carrying Hensner's body over his shoulders.
A couple of extra lodgers, Sarge. One alive and one dead.
Here, what have you been up to?
Dave was hiding in the camp. Got into a little argument with Marmaduke here and knocked him for six. Why do we have to have that swine up here?
Can't leave him lying about in the grounds, old man. That would start something.
Well, couldn't you have bedded him?
What?
And those searchlights? The boy's looking pale, isn't he?
How long have we got to be up here with him?
The idea is we make a break for it on Saturday.
Oh, I don't think it'll last that long. I had an aunt once who died in Aberdeen in a very hot summer. Well, she'd always wanted to be bedded in West Bromwich. We got her on the train, but somehow or other she missed the connection and...
I'm not going to stay in this hole until Saturday.
Sit down. You'll stay and like it. There are three of us in this. We're not going to mess up our chances of escape because of a dead jury.
Nice stuff, ain't it, mate? A regular dummy hand this time. That reminds me of a dream I once had about Madame Tussauds. I dreamt I was playing bridge with Crippen, Henry VIII, Lady Godiva. Every time I said pass, Henry VIII bent over and bit Lady Godiva in the ear. Didn't seem to understand the game.
Count me out.
Happen to take your hand, too?
I'd be very much obliged if you would.
All right, I will. Ooh, I think you'd better count him out, too, the next round. I think he's cheating.
Don't let this get under your skin, Dave. He's only a stiff.
Hensner's body falls forward.
Oh, drunk as well, eh?
The women are engaged in various pastimes. Monsieur Beaupé approaches Harry, who's sewing a dress.
Where did you get this?
An old dress of mine. I'm trying to turn it into something for the concert tonight.
I have a message to give you for the others. Listen carefully and do not interrupt.
That's about it.
That leaves the 1 minute blackout when the searchlight crews change over to get the boys away.
And what's worrying me is cutting off the outside loudspeakers. It'll have to be timed to the second to make it sound as though the concert's over.
Oh, we'll manage that all right. The problem is to find an act strong enough to keep the commandant and his staff in their seats for the next 20 minutes after.
What about Lucy?
She only knows two songs.
I've just seen Monsieur Bobby. The Germans are in a frightful stew. Sergeant Henson disappeared mysteriously last night. The Gestapo's been called in.
That's torn it.
Oh, dear. Do you think we should put the escape off?
We can't do that now.
Aye, but will the commandant turn up?
Monsieur Bobby says yes, but he's warned us to be very careful. He says that if we do get them away, he'll meet the boys at the Chalon crossroads.
Then it's up to us.
All we need is the act to finish the concert. It's got to be something sensational.
If one of those officers leaves the hall before the show's finished, our plan won't work.
I don't know if it's proper to suggest this, but supposing we could persuade Bridie to divest herself of her clothes, as I believe she did on the Paris stage.
Mrs. Hatfield.
Well, I don't know.
She's got it. Striptease. No man ever leaves before the last veil drops.
I refuse to be a party to it. She'd be exposing herself for patriotic reasons, you know.
I'm afraid you're in the minority, dear. Where is Bridie?
I haven't seen her this morning.
She's probably in her room. I'll handle her.
I consider the whole thing quite revolting.
With a cursory knock at the door, Frida heads into Bridie's room.
Bridie.
What do you want?
It's about the escape. We need an act tonight to finish off the bill that'll keep those Nazis glued in their seats. And your little takeoff will do the trick nicely.
I'm not going to do it.
Don't be silly. Of course you will.
I don't care if he doesn't escape.
You deserve a kick in the pants for a remark like that. What can that fellow mean to you, anyway?
How can you know what he means to me?
I've a rough idea. 3 hectic nights, a half a dozen aspirin, and here's to the next time.
I tell you, I'll go mad if I don't see him again.
Seem to have heard that before. Look here, sweetheart. I'll strike a bargain with you. If you promise to trot out the old torso tonight, I'll take you to see your boyfriend. What do you say?
I don't know.
You will. I'll come back for you tonight.
It's rather disgraceful, taking lads in this way. It's a shame, just like them. They always pick on the innocent
one. Half a mind to go on a hunger strike.
It's good of that love. We've been doing it for a year.
What happened? They're taking Miss Manningford and Miss Meredith away.
Where to?
To a punishment camp in Germany. For uncovering the blackout and signalling to a British plane. Come along.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Muriel and Claire are led under guard down the balustraded staircase to the ground floor, where a large group of women has gathered to see them off. That night, Maud, wearing a short jacket and top hat, peeks through the stage curtain at a packed audience of women and German soldiers. She looks thoughtful.
Coming down here yet?
No, he always makes a late entrance.
Maud checks her hair in a mirror.
Everything okay, Maud?
Yeah, okay.
Rosemary leads the 3 airmen across the stage, then down a short flight of steps and through a curtain to a small props room.
Must you go now?
Yes.
Why?
If I stay, I know what you're going to ask me. I don't want you to.
You can't stop me. It's hell talking to you in front of a couple of other fellows. When all this is over, will you go back to the convent?
No.
A cottage in Dorset?
Must I answer that?
Yes.
No. I thought about it all last night. If you escape, you go back. I'll be left rotting here. War may go on for years.
Does it matter how long?
Yes, it does. Anything can happen. Let's be sensible. We've only known each other a few days.
You're mad now.
Maybe. I didn't want you to ask me all these questions. But you insisted. I'm going to get you some food.
Rosemary, you couldn't have thought about it all night without being a little in love.
I couldn't have thought about it all night without being a lot in love. See you before you go. Don't forget to lock the door.
James closes the door behind her, frowning frustratedly.
made a proper muck of that, Jim boy.
Maud strides confidently onto the stage.
Too many women and not enough love to go around. Too many women and never a man to be found. Oh, isn't it a shame to wait all my days and nights?
A large car pulls up at a checkpoint and the driver reaches across his passenger to show papers to a guard. Having waved the car past, the guard turns and heads to a backstage door, then into a room where other guards are lounging around, listening to Maud singing through a loudspeaker. He places his rifle on a rack and hangs up his helmet. Three important-looking German officers step out of the parked car and head up some steps. In the theatre foyer, Harry and Margaret watch them as they unbutton their coats.
Three of them. With a driver, that makes four.
The officers hand in their coats and hats at the cloakroom counter, and Margaret opens the door for them as they head into the auditorium. As Maud takes her bow to rapturous applause, the officers make their way down a central aisle to three empty seats in the front row. Maud's smile fades briefly when she spots them. Then, with a final bow, she rushes from the stage.
They've brought a Gestapo officer with them, blast it.
We've got enough troubles.
Does that mean the escape's off?
No, it doesn't. We'll work round it somehow. I'll go and talk to the boys. You wait here. I'll call you.
Bridie looks put out. Frieda knocks on the door of the props room.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah?
Yeah, just a second.
What is it?
I know what you think of Bridie, but I want you to forget that for now. I want you to see her again.
Why should I? Any woman who has anything to do with a German in a place like this isn't fit to breathe the same air as the rest of you.
Is that so? Well, you're going to listen and you're going to believe me.
You're wasting your time. If 17 judges were to pronounce you innocent, I still wouldn't believe them.
Take it easy.
As far as I'm concerned, baby, I wouldn't be seen dead in hell with you now. I know you for what you are. Rotten, right down to the bottom of your cheap, dirty little soul. I wouldn't...
Bridie slaps him.
That's the right goodbye.
Yes, but at the wrong moment. That girl's filling the last act in the bill tonight. She's holding those Nazis in their seats for 20 minutes while you get away. How do you think we're going to get her onto the stage now?
Oh, I knew something like this would happen once we landed amongst all these women.
I'll fetch her
back.
You
can't do that. Write her a note and I'll take it up to her. Tell her you've just heard what she's doing to help you and you didn't realize what a sacrifice she was making.
You think she'll believe that?
A woman in love will believe anything.
That's right. Tell her that hate is akin to love. And as you've already told her you hate her, well, it stands to reason you must very nearly love her.
Here.
Come on, Dave. I'll help you out.
Okay.
We're on in 5 minutes, Teresa. Hurry up.
Bridie stops outside Teresa's door and studies it thoughtfully. Her hands are clenched angrily at her side. She moves across to her own room and pushes open the door. Closing the door behind her, she stands and mulls over an idea in her head. Taking a notepad from a drawer, Bridie rips out a page and starts to write. Dave finishes writing his note and hands it to James.
I've never written such a pack of lies in my life. It makes me sick.
You can blame it all on me.
If it does the trick, that's all that matters. Lock the door, Audrey.
Checking that no one's looking, Bridie pushes a note under Teresa's door. Bridie hurries back to her room. Moments later, Frieda knocks on Bridie's door and enters to find Bridie lying on the bed with her face buried in her arms.
Snap out of it, sweetheart. Here's a fairy godmother come to see you. I told him you were doing your act to cover his escape. I've never seen a man change, though. He asked me to give you this.
Bridie lifts her head to look at the folded note.
I hate him.
same way that he hates you. I thought you understood men. You're due on in 10 minutes. Better get changed. Any help?
No. No, I'll be all right. I'll be done. Leave me alone.
Okay.
Bridie waits for Frieda to leave, then screws up the unread note. With a look of determination, she heads out of the room and across the corridor to Teresa's room. Teresa's reading the note Bridie pushed under her door.
What do you want?
I wrote that note.
What do you mean?
It's no use, Teresa. I know what you are.
What are you doing?
You're not leaving here.
Have you gone mad?
I'm not going to leave this room until those boys have got away.
Teresa lunges at Bridie, then reaches for a wooden skittle, but drops it as Bridie pushes her into a chair and throws herself on top of her. Teresa pushes Bridie onto the floor, and the two women engage in a clawing, hair-pulling struggle. As Bridie gets to her feet, Teresa grabs her ankle and she falls into the chair, where the grappling continues. Teresa throws Bridie onto the bed and climbs on top of her, Bridie using all her strength to fight her off, before they both tumble over the side onto the floor and out of sight.
Have you a light, please?
Yeah.
The soldier lights Annette's cigarette. Oh,
thank you so much. It's a lovely night, don't you think?
Annette's working on the show for now, so keep your eye open for them.
But we can't possibly go on without Teresa.
What's gone wrong now?
Kauser hasn't turned up and the jerks are due to go on.
But we'll be terrible without her.
You'll be terrible anyway. Jump to it. Come on, you're off.
In dark shorts and light short-sleeved tops, Mrs. Birdshaw and her troupe of dancers jog onto the stage.
I've got the boys' food.
And the way things are going, I doubt if they'll need it. Kauser's disappeared now.
Do you think she's on to anything?
If she is, she'll try to get to the commandant. I better rush around and tell the girls.
This thing's going to get me rattled soon.
Maud heads for the door.
The Annette's coming with the chauffeur. The boys ready, so I want them.
The chauffeur follows Annette backstage and down the steps that lead to the props room as Maud slips away.
Well, just inside here, you'll see the whole stage. She's beautiful, that striptease girl.
I must be back before the show's over.
You'll have plenty of warning.
Annette opens the props room door.
You will see everything from here.
He heads in alone, and Annette closes the door.
I've delivered him.
Good. Crumbs, I'm flat out.
How long do your songs last?
7 minutes. We'll sing an extra chorus and make them last 10 minutes.
Bridie should be here by now.
Yes, go and hurry her up.
Go on, Lucy.
Lucy curtsies to the audience. Pulling on her coat, Teresa staggers from her room, a trickle of blood running down the side of her face.
What's happened, Teresa?
Teresa runs off, and Rosemary looks into her room to see Bridie lying on the floor. Dabbing the side of her face with a handkerchief, Teresa heads for Frau Holweg's office, where she collapses breathlessly into a chair.
Gottes Willen, was ist denn los, Teresa? Die drei englischen Flieger. Die drei englischen Flieger sind hier im Lager.
Rosemary dashes back to the theater.
Das muss ich sofort dem Herrn Kommandanten melden. Kommen Sie mir nach, sobald es Ihnen möglich ist. Teresa's disappeared, so I thought I'd come along and warn you in case she's getting up to something.
Frau Holweg.
Out of my way.
You can't go in now. The show's on.
Don't speak to me like that. I must see the commandant. Just a minute. Take your hands off me.
Maud slugs her.
You knocked her cold.
I didn't run a girl's hostel for nothing, ducks.
lets us down now. Where is she?
She can't go on. She and Teresa have been fighting. All she can say is we've got to stop Teresa.
Blast! I knew something like this would happen.
Teresa passed me just now in the corridor.
Maud will stop her if she tries to get to the commandant.
All the same, you'd better slip round to the front quick and warn them. The boys will be off in a few minutes, and if they can hold it till then, there's a chance.
Yes, but who's going on in Bridie's place?
I am.
You?
I manage.
Tell me, has everybody gone stark raving mad, or is it just me?
Two women in the audience watch Lucy's performance with tears in their eyes. A woman nuzzles a child lovingly in her arms. Frieda and Rosemary fight back tears as they watch from the wings.
How long before the searchlights black out?
I make it 1 minute exactly. Better warn the boys.
All right.
The airmen are dressed in German uniforms.
You ready? I brought the food.
Thanks. I'm going to take that cottage on the 7 years' lease.
Good luck, darling.
Goodbye. How long have you got now?
25 seconds.
Keeping a close eye on a fob watch, Frieda sends Lucy back out on stage to take another bow, then signals to two women perched high in the stage rafters.
Go ahead, Madge. Be sure you get the right wires. Don't cut off the loudspeakers inside the hall, whatever you do.
Die Vorstellung ist zu Ende. War nicht schlecht.
As a clock strikes, the searchlight's beam is switched off and the hotel's facade falls into total darkness. In the theatre, the stage curtains part and Rosemary walks on. James and Dave sidle up to the commandant's car.
I hope Alec won't be long.
Give him a chance. It's a sticky job.
One song ever shall remain, for without it music is a lost refrain.
Here we come. I had a bit of difficulty persuading his nibs to dress. He didn't seem to cotton to the idea at all. He was very stiff about it.
Teresa spots them.
You got him? He's all right.
Okay?
Yep, keep going.
She hurries into the theatre.
Kick her right under the counter, her behind sticking out.
Frau Holweg's bound and gagged behind the cloakroom counter. Heads turn as Teresa staggers down the central aisle of the auditorium. The theatre descends into uproar as the commandant and his men stream out. As Teresa follows, a woman trips her up. An officer hands a phone to the commandant. At a checkpoint, James shows some papers to a solitary guard who studies them by torchlight. A phone rings in the checkpoint office.
Hallo? Jawohl, Herr Kommandant. Ihr Wagen ist hier. Zu Befehl, Herr Kommandant.
The car pulls away as the guard hurries from the office and fires at it.
Keep your heads down.
Where did that one go to?
Caught
Marmaduke in the back of the neck for the little bit.
Yielding the blooming lily, that is.
The car roars down a country lane as the commandant frantically jabs at the phone's hook switch.
Was ist denn doch los? Entschuldigen vielmals, Herr Kommandant, wir haben Sie nicht gekriegt.
Was dachte ich mir?
Monsieur Beaupé is waiting for the car at the side of a quiet wooded road.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Monsieur Beaupé.
Bonsoir, Monsieur.
One passenger getting out, one getting in.
Sergeant and Snare.
Dead these last 2 days.
Had to bring him along with us, we couldn't help ourselves.
Pity we had to ditch him, I was getting quite fond of him. I don't think he was with us in spirit, though.
Hallo, hallo dort. Verbinden Sie mich sofort mit dem Staatspapier. Ja, schnell, hören Sie? Ja.
The theatre foyer is teeming with German officers and soldiers. An officer leads his men angrily into the auditorium, where the audience is singing along with the entire company gathered around Maud at a grand piano on stage. Standing to either side of Maud, Frieda and Rosemary share a proud and triumphant look. The airman's car speeds on into the night. The end. A Gainsborough picture.